welcome to the very first ever The Supergroup. This is where we assemble an unlikely pair of special guests from the world of music and comedy to collaborate with us, a very likely pair, to write and record a completely original song over the course of a week.
Which we will debut for you, the listener, at the end of this very episode.
Yay, you'll get to hear it. Who are we? We are Tawny Newsome.
And Alex Kleiner.
We've known each other for years. We used to work together at the Second City.
We are dear friends.
Dear friends. We toured together when I was working for the Second City National Touring Company. Alex was my music director, which means that he can write music and jokes and both at the same time or separately.
And improvise on the piano over nonsense scenes.
Yeah. But basically, we had the idea for this show because I've always been a musician and a comedian and trying to have my foot in both worlds and do both very earnestly. And what I love doing is collaborating with a bunch of random people. So in like 2013, Alex and I wrote a couple songs for this album that I did where I collaborated with like 10 different musicians on every song. So each song has a completely different like vibe and genre, and I just loved the songwriting process of like kind of stranger ensemble, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I moved to Los Angeles and I was like, oh, I should do this with comedians.
Yeah.
Comedians that people don't know are as musical as they are. So
exactly. And comedians often, and I think you've made this point before, seem to express some longing to be in a band.
They really do.
Like I think that musicians look to comedians, especially like stand-ups and people on the road, and say, like, that's the rock star life. And the comedians look to bands and say, no, that's the rock star life. So why not have both?
Why not be both double rock stars?
Double rock stars. I think you and I are double rock stars, in a way. Or rock star facilitators.
So to get started, we're going to welcome our lovely guests. This first gentleman is my castmate on Bajillion Dollar Properties. He is a podcaster, comedian, actor. You know him. He's fantastic. Mr. Paul F. Tompkins.
Hi.
Thank you for being here, sir.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for asking me, Tawny.
Oh, absolutely. I always ask you to do things. Does that get old?
I don't think that's true.
I feel like I ask a lot of you.
Do you really?
I feel like everyone asks a lot of you.
I am. That's true. I'm hard pressed to think of another thing that you've asked me to do.
So you mean I still got some more like chips I can claim?
I'm saying you're squeezing me out and I don't like it.
Shit.
But you might have some leeway.
Who's this?
Hi, I'm Alex. And speaking of Alex, I would like to welcome our second member of the supergroup this week. You may know her from her acting roles on Nickelodeon's Big Time Rush, or maybe even from ABC's No Ordinary Family, or The Secret Life of the American Teenager. I know her from her 2017 EP, Tired Eyes, and her 2016 single, Planes, which has millions of listens on Spotify, ladies and gentlemen, Caitlin Tarver.
Hey,
yeah.
Thank you.
Caitlin, you were making a face like you were never on those television shows.
No, I was.
You really did look
I was going to say, don't blame me.
No, just like before the bio, I was like, oh, what? Oh, what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, I did that.
Wikipedia.com.
Well, should we have asked you what you wanted to be known as?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Great. We got a fine.
Okay.
No. I mean, you said my EP, which I was excited about.
Yep. Came out in May, right?
Yeah. March.
March. And it was an M.
M. Yeah. Current.
December.
December. Close enough.
Oh, hi, friend. Are you enjoying the show? This is just Tawny Newsome from the future wanting to pop back and say, hey, listener, if this episode sounds like it was recorded a cool one whole year ago, that's because it was, playa. So ignore our 2017 references. And get your ass back to listening.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You are a full-time musician. You do this for real.
Yes.
You don't just do this for podcasts. Is
right.
that correct?
That's correct.
So how much do you hate us? Did this suck? Was this the worst way to work on a song?
No. It was cool. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but it was kind of nice for me to have a deadline. I feel like that was really helpful because with songwriting, it can just be so vague and like you don't know if the song's ever going to end up anywhere. So you're like, well, let's write a second verse at some point.
Yeah, and then 6 months later,
yeah,
you're like,
exactly.
Do we need a bridge?
Yeah, nah, we don't need a bridge.
So for clarity, we literally started 7 days ago over email where we just kind of threw out a question to Paul that was now pretty far from what the song itself is.
I would say so.
Yeah. Because, but what's interesting is
is that you gave this really great detailed story that I was like, well, we could just do that song. But then it felt like a funnier or like a, I don't know, it just seemed like funnier. And I think Paul has such an amazing voice. I was like, I want to give Paul a song where he can just sing earnestly and just sound as great as he can sound. And Caitlin, of course, sings like an angel too. So I just wanted you guys to have like a more dramatic kind of thing mm-hmm. to like be very earnest.
That was achieved.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
I think
definitely.
So.
It's definitely drama filled. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share the story? That,
Absolutely.
We had asked Paul, I just said, what was the last awkward encounter with a stranger that he had?
The first thing that came to mind was a while ago where I was working on a TV show and I was going to some party that had something. I think it was just like a publicity thing where the cast of the show was going to be at this party. We're going to get a picture taken or whatever. And so I walk in by myself and I get to, there's like a dance floor. It's very dimly lit. And I see two of my castmates are dancing. And so I go up to the guy, it's a guy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And I go up to the guy and as a joke, I put my hands around his neck as if I am strangling him.
Cool joke.
And then when he turns to look at me, it is absolutely not the person that I knew at all. And I look at the woman that he's dancing with. It's not her either.
Nope.
But it's like they absolutely had the shape of these people. It was so weird. It was because it was so confusing because it's not only, oh, these are not the people I thought that they were. I have my hands on this guy's neck and he is I will never forget the look on his face. I will never forget it. Like just sheer, like it was like just complete flabbergasted. Like, I can't believe this is happening, but then all tinged with rage. Like, who the fuck is this person putting their hands on my neck? And I was like, I am so sorry. I apologize. I thought that you were a friend of mine. And the guy could not have been a better sport about it.
Wow.
But he kept telling me, no, it's all right. That's all right, man. But I was gonna take you down. It's like making a fist. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't blame you. He was like, that was crazy because I was ready to punch you out.
Oh,
it's like
God.
He just kept saying it over and over. He's like, message received.
Like, I get it.
I'm walking away.
I get it. I was almost hit tonight. Thank you. That's incredible. So what I loved about this story was the idea of this like mistaken identity mm-hmm. because, you know, then when you want to write a dramatic pop song, you always make it like vaguely about love.
Sure.
So I started with this weird dark melody that has nothing to do with choking out a stranger.
Right. So this is the very first thing Tawny sent. It was over an email.
So that's literally me, like, in the parking lot of a Whole Foods, singing into my iPhone and sending it to Alex, being like, what do you think of this, man? So then Alex comes back with 5 different versions. We won't play all of them. But he came back. He's such a beast. He came back. He was like, okay, I got this track. It's dreamy. I got a club banger. I got one that has halftime drums. Play a snippet of that club banger.
The club banger. Okay.
No, we missed out on the
club. Listen to this shit. Those trap drums.
Wow.
I could have done my Euro voice.
Yeah, could have gone in a way different direction.
Next time. I love that one because I love thinking like what car commercial that needs to go underneath, you know? Like, will you hit it again?
Oh, sure.
The 2016 Scion. That's right. It's from last year.
My mind went to Scion as well.
It's totally a Scion,
it's a
Scion
track. Scion, if you're listening, buy this. It's cheaper than you think.
Yeah. Why did you say 2016?
Honestly, I don't know.
This is not a 2017 track.
No.
It's not going to work.
We wouldn't do it. So, you know, we had all these different variations, and I, like, loved all of them. Alex is sending them to me, and I'm like, yeah,
Yeah, this is fucking great. This is awesome. And then, Caitlin, I feel like the first thing I sent you might have been just an empty guitar track. Mm-hmm. So I think I started to realize, like, oh, I don't know this woman. I've worked with your brother and I've met you. But I'm let me not throw at her the most intense, like, let's just, like, lay out the chords. Let's give it a chuggy feel. Mm-hmm. Let's put some drums under it. Because in my head, I always just want to be PJ Harvey or someone. Have you collaborated with a lot of, like, total strangers before?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about your band and how you always have to piece together.
Well, that's not... I don't mind that, but writing a song with a stranger is always a ride.
And are they usually... You said that they're usually in the room with you. How does it come about that you get these strange people from the street?
I mean, I think anytime... I don't know. When you're in the music industry, it's always like, oh, we should set you up with this writer. He worked on this one track. And then you're like... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, co-writing is such an adventure because you can either go in and click with someone and you're like, I feel comfortable talking to you, or you go in and you don't really click with someone and you're like, oh, how am I going to last 6-7 more hours? How are they? What are we going to do?
Do you get to have, like, a tryout period? Like, are you able to tell your label or whoever's setting you up, like, hey, this was cool, but I'm not feeling this
dude? I mean, I think I've learned how to be a little more picky as I've gone on, because there's a part of me that's like, well, you never know who you're going to write that hit with.
That's true. Like,
you might as well try Roseanne with
Barr.
Everyone. Yeah, you never know. If I got set up on a session with Roseanne Barr, I'd probably take it.
Spelling.
I'd be like, you never know. So it's always a fun challenge to, like, see if you can make a song by the end of the day, but it can get exhausting.
For sure. Paul, have you ever written a song?
Yeah, kind of. Like in I would say in my early 20s, there's a group of guys. We used to get together and play music, and I tried very hard to play the bass, and it was very difficult. I never quite got the hang of it. I couldn't get through a whole song.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it
hand
strength or, like, just coordination or—
I think it was timing, honestly. It was like I would always lose the rhythm. Mm-hmm. Drums, anything I tried, it was always like I could go for a little bit and then I would always lose it.
Yeah.
And then it was over. You know,
right.
I couldn't get back in. But I would sing a lot, and we would mostly do just covers of songs, but every once in a while one of us would have written a song. And I'd written a lot of poetry when I was in high school. A lot of poetry.
Yeah.
And all mortifying.
For girls.
Oh,
for ladies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I guess you're not writing poetry for, like, your bros, right?
Well, I mean, every once in a while I'd write a thing that was, like, not about how much I love this girl, but mostly, yes, it was about girls. And but I've written a lot of songs for comedy purposes, you know, which I always have honestly really enjoyed. It's always very satisfying because it's still a song, you know what I mean? And it's like to come up with a fun melody and good rhymes is really satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. As long as you have a good melody, it doesn't matter what you're saying.
Yeah. So when we first got together with Nate, my husband, who's on the drums on this track, because neither Alex nor I played drums, and we felt like this needed real rock and roll drums.
Yeah.
So when we first got together, we, like, got in a little rehearsal room, and, you know, I don't play the guitar, like, a ton in my life. I just play it to write, and then I give it to someone else to be like, hey, I wrote this song. Can you please make it sound better? And I'll just sing over it. But I really wanted to play. So we got in a room together, and one of our first times through where we were just like, what does this sound like to just have, like, Alex playing, Nate laying down real drums, and me just, like, really bashing away at the guitar? I feel like this is the first time we started to get, like, a feel for, like, the kind of, like, urgent nature of it. And yeah, I don't know. For me, it sort of informed, like, even though we totally didn't know what the song was about, it felt like it definitely was going to be more dramatic or, like, I don't know, just, like, more purposeful and not, like, jokey at all.
Right. And also by doing it as a, like, a trio band, just, like, rehearsing it, it gave it that live vibe. So we knew it wasn't going to, like, live in that 2016 Scion world, like, in its final product. It was going to feel alive and a little more rocky.
We have to take a break, but we'll be right back with more The Supergroup.
Supergroup.
We're back with the Supergroup. We're here with Caitlin Tarver and Mr. Paul F. Tompkins. We're getting ready to debut this track that we all wrote together, having mostly largely been strangers before. But now we're best friends.
You guys are gonna love it.
Track is gonna go quadruple plat. A&R reps are gonna come. P&R reps are gonna leave.
We're gonna do coke.
We're gonna tour.
Club tours.
We're gonna club destroy appearances. Holiday Inn hotel rooms.
We're gonna wreck our careers.
Yes.
It's gonna be over.
Have a comeback.
We're all gonna sign a binding contract with each one of us so that no one makes any money because we all
That's right.
are owed it from the other person.
That's right.
And our manager stole all of it anyway.
Yeah.
Took off.
Damn. I guess we better reinvent as a folk foursome.
Super folk.
Caitlin, who'd you listen to when you were growing up?
So
no pressure. They don't have to be cool. I'll break the ice. Mine was Hootie and the Blowfish.
I feel like it was kind of, you know, a lot of different things. But my memory of childhood and singing was just like listening to Leanne Rimes, Shania Twain, because I grew up in Georgia. So there was a lot of that country influence. And then like Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, like any just sort of like belt singer, I would like sing to in
you
the
like
living
a
room
big...
I would put on a show. Yeah, like I don't necessarily sing those type of songs now, but that's what I feel like I kind of learned to sing to that stuff and discovered that I could sing to that stuff. Like I remember singing along to Whitney Houston and in my memory I hit the note flawlessly.
Oh, sure.
But enough for me to be like, oh mom, listen, I can hit it. Like and so it was like that idea of like, oh, I think I can sing.
I feel like you loved those big drama voices.
Yeah.
Those big, like wide ranging, you know, because even Shania, like she gets a lot of flack, but like some of the rangy shit that
she
would do.
She's a great singer. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. Yeah.
Her best known songs are the ones where she barely sings.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's
where
so
she's just
weird.
Like, so you got a nice car.
Oh,
tell me about it.
Tell me about it.
I hate that.
It impress
song.
Me much.
One of
Paul,
my favorites.
It's a smash.
It's a smash. And it's so funny.
Look, the people have spoken. I'm wrong.
I also was a big Trisha Yearwood kid.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up just being like, this is the way to sing. This is everything.
So you're from the Yearwood School of Singing?
Yeah, I'm from the Yearwood Academy of Vocal Arts. I couldn't really even hit the notes, but I just remember being like, yes, this is like emotive and like also very real because she's country, you know, that and like Bonnie Raitt and stuff. I was oh, these country women. And then I was like, oh, I am a black person. I should lean on that a little bit. Paul, what black people did you grow up listening to?
No, let's see. My parents were older, so they were, you know, greatest generation. I'm the fifth of six children. So the music they would have on in the house was like big band music and Sinatra and, you know, stuff like that. So I was hearing that at the same time as like late 70s kind of rock. And then when I was coming of age, it was the 80s, and I listened to a combination of whatever was on the radio, top 40, and the Beatles. I can't remember what turned me onto the Beatles, but I got into the Beatles and got into them really hard, and especially like all through high school, just obsessively listening to them. And then after I got out in the world when I was 17, it was a combination of like new wave, power pop, and like really old blues.
Really?
Whoa. Yes. And then as I got into my 20s pretentiousness, got to fold in some Tom Waits, right?
Got to. He's doing things.
Absolutely. But somebody who was huge for me when I was in my 20s and was a guy that I stuck with for a really long time was Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
I was huge into him and really spoke to me up until like, I want to say like almost the 2000s. I think the last album of his I bought where I felt like, oh, this doesn't really do it for me anymore.
Yeah.
Was probably in 2000 or 2001, something like that.
That was kind of me with Weezer. I grew up like in high school. I was like, Weezer is my jam. Not a fan. Alex and I have a split in our
a rift.
Appreciation here. We have a real rift. But like, Alex, you like the Pixies though, right?
Not really.
Fuck you, man.
I know.
Get
I
out
don't
of
like
here.
The Pixies. Oh. Okay, so I was like, from, you have to understand, like from Michael Jackson to like, like the Smashing Pumpkins to straight up Trent Reznor, like Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson. Like,
yeah, but aren't that outside of that, like, Trent Reznor-y?
Yeah, but the closest thing to, like, straightforward, like, kind of more guitar washy rock that I think the Pixies is, like, their aesthetic would be, like, Placebo. Like, I was in just, like, moody, like,
you are
gothy,
pretty moody.
You know, shit. And then...
Oh my God, you are moody. Actually, we should hear one of the first, play 1.2. You're this welcome. Is the first, this is just me doing those woes in the parking lot at Whole Foods or whatever, and then Alex putting a synth pad under it.
Oh yeah, because my initial instinct is always Enya, so get ready.
Welcome to this haunted hotel.
Pure hotel.
We haunt you, and you pay us.
Orinoco, no.
Wait, what? Borinoco?
Orinoco.
I got it.
That's that Sail Away song that was on the Crystal Light commercial for a million years.
Oh, my God. Crystal Light or Tang, everyone? Alex.
I guess Crystal Light.
Crystal Light.
Tang!
Yeah. I don't drink either. Also, LaCroix is bad for you now. Everyone deal with it.
Oh, right, sad for you now?
Yeah. You didn't ask what we drank.
Well.
It was, you gave us a choice of one or the other.
Got shamed.
So what a setup.
Well, that's my style of gotcha podcasting that I do. Okay, so I want to play the one where Caitlin finally fixed our verse melody.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what the verse was going to be. I had those whoa, whoa, whoas in that weirdo chorus.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then we were like, maybe, Caitlin was like, hey, maybe that chorus can hit the bricks. And we were like, yeah, maybe you're right. You got a verse melody though, bro? And actually, I want to read your text. It was very funny.
Oh, no.
She just wrote, well, not the best lyrics in the world, but what do you think of the overall vibe? Like, what a journey we went on.
Protecting myself.
Yeah, right?
I don't think it's that good, but here you go.
Keep thinking I see you everywhere I turn. Ever since you left, I've been so depressed. I've been on my own. People tell me to move on and meet somebody new, but you're haunting me. Everything I see reminding me of you.
Yeah, I was sitting at my kitchen table, similar to Whole Foods parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I read Paul's story, I just thought it was so funny that it was like hard to come up with something. You know, when I heard the track, I was like, so is this supposed to be funny? Because like the story's so funny and where do you take this? But you threw out a lot of like good inspiration for concepts and like places you could take it of just the idea of mistaking someone or seeing someone that you think you knew. Which,
I hope so. Because I feel like in retrospect, I feel like I failed big time with
the
story.
No. It sparked a lot of ideas.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Because I also didn't want to just take your story and be like, here is a song about what happened to me.
Right. I won't go to the dance floor. And then I started choking you because I thought I knew you.
They had the same shape from
wait
the
a minute. Wait, wait, wait.
This sounds good.
I want to hear that
better
song.
Than what we did. Really should have spoke
like
up
Gilbert
sooner.
Gilbert and Sullivan.
I saw you on the dance floor.
Anyway, so yeah, we went with that kind of keep thinking I see you everywhere.
Yeah,
and,
you're on my mind.
You're on my mind, and I miss you, and I'm finding you in everything. And so I just kind of went for it, and I was like, don't judge yourself and write it down.
Yeah,
and which was good. And
I sent
it off and was like,
Have you ever had that experience where you broke up with someone and then you see people that look like that person so much?
Yeah.
It's what a horrible thing your brain is.
Horrible. Because it's just like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Did you mean to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you making a mistake?
Check it out. Look at this woman at Petco. It's her. Maybe.
It's her.
Maybe.
Maybe she's buying a pet. She misses you. She's sad.
And then I had the luxury of getting your feedback early in the morning, and I think Alex was out. So I was like trying to text him like, hey, chorus A is gone. Like that. In Alex's mind, and I get it because he had created six different synth pass versions of this song. Like that was the hook of the song.
That was my anchor.
That was his anchor.
The whoa, oh, oh.
Yeah, that chorus A. The second Caitlin suggested, I think she said, like, I want to lift this because it all feels really dark. I was like, oh, you're totally
right.
Well,
because when I sang that verse, you're like, I'm struggling to find the chorus. And I was like, me too, because it was all feeling very minory and dark. Mm-hmm. And there was like a section in the track you sent over, I think that was a bridge. And I listened to it and it was like this nice, like.
Yeah, we
play. Yeah, sure. It was like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, which felt just a little brighter.
Yeah.
Which I thought could be a cool,
I don't know. You on the dance floor.
And it wasn't you. And so I sent Alex's text, and I'm like, okay, so Caitlin and I have been talking. We're basically BFFs now.
Yeah.
I'm like walking from yoga, just being like, we've been training back voice memos, and we've come up with this cool idea where we scrap everything you know to be true in this world, and we replace it with this weird-ass bridge. Mm-hmm. And that's now our chorus. Yeah. Yay. And Alex was like, I think you were like, I'm at Banana Republic. I need a minute.
I was about town doing my shopping, and everything changed.
Everything changed. That's always how it goes, though.
It took 30 minutes of a little embolism and recalibration. We made coffee.
Uh-huh.
And then the song came back together into a much better place than it was.
I will say, too, it was cool to write a song with like a full story to like draw from, even though we didn't use the exact story. It was like helpful because I feel like when you're thinking of concepts, it's like, oh, it should be about this. And it can get kind of uninspiring because you're like missing someone. Yeah. But if you like hear someone tell a story or in hear kind of some like different sides of it, it kind of helped write the lyrics, I feel like.
Even for me, when I'd be looking for a noun or for something to pull something from that story, like the word strangers, you know, maybe wouldn't occur to me if I was just writing like a sad love song.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or like reach out, I kept using because I'm literally imagining Paul reaching out to choke someone.
That was funny when I heard that. I was like, all I can see is Paul reaching out to choke this man.
A big part of choking someone is reaching out.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1. Okay, so after all the writing, then we piled into the studio to start recording, which is my favorite part. I feel like Alex and I are such studio rats. I feel like we could just live in recording studios forever and just track instruments and adjust vocals and buy expensive microphones. Mm-hmm. Can we have that job?
Well, we're working on it.
So my husband, Nate, is our drummer here, and we had him track his drums first so that we could build on top of it like a beautiful musical layer cake.
I think it's great. And then in the regular chorus, you do it in the first go-around, you do that triplet or that like straight dun-dun-dun-dun. Is it too much to do that every time in the chorus? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
The chorus is the hits.
But I'm here now. Body moving.
Almost like. Are we rapping on Nate?
That's a rap on Nate Urbanski. Wow.
Now we're going to lay down some guitar that's going to kind of, I think, poke through in the chorus a bit more, but I'm going to lay it down over the whole track so that we have lots of options. Caitlin, of course, is an incredible pro and knows her voice super well, so she came in with some really awesome ideas of how to kind of adjust the melody that I'd sort of arranged with Alex to really make it fit her voice.
The only thing I was thinking, and it's pretty minor, was for the chorus, I don't know if you guys really wanted that, but I'm here now, like that pause, because it just felt better for me to go, but I'm here now.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we went back and forth on that very topic.
That's funny.
Several times.
But I'm here now, and I feel my body moving, and I reach out, and I touch you just to prove it. Here now, and I feel my body moving, and I reach out, and I touch you just to prove it.
So should we reference the your recording for the melody on the bridge?
And this is really free, so if any melody you want in there.
Yeah.
It's really only like two or three chords, so.
I think I see you. And time slows down
when I think that I see you, time slows down. Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Is that ending too? Like, is that too much?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Your face. not until you said that. I thought it was amazing.
Just some jazz cat throughout.
Time slows down. I love it.
And actually, can we listen to that take back?
Love it.
That is actually really great.
So we had Caitlin's amazing vocal, but we knew it also needed a little bit of a group voice sound behind it with some harmony. So the lovely Tawny Newsome came in and did this awesome backup harmony.
And I feel my body moving. And I reach up and I touch you just to prove it.
Guys, hi.
Hi, guys.
So then Paul was our last instrument to track, being his vocals, and we figured out his vocal part, which he was nervous that he was not going to be able to hit because I wrote this stupid high, I mean this incredibly high part.
Sounds great.
That's fucking fantastic. I think we should start recording and then we'll make tweaks as we go, but I think it's great.
Great, okay. Sorry if I gave you crazy levels.
Crazy levels.
And then we'll do crazy levels after this.
Okay. This is my favorite improv one
moment. Crazy levels.
Then he came in and ripped through it like a beast. He sounds like Bon Jovi.
It did. It sounded like...
He's amazing.
It sounded like some epic 80s, like, vocal soaring...
Right?
Awesome man.
Life without you now. Can't believe you walked away. I tried reaching out, but you won't hear what I gotta say.
Paul, what was it like to sing this very high melody that I wrote for you?
You know what? I was glad that you... trusted me because I was trying it at home. I was practicing at home and I found the really high notes felt like out of reach. But when I came in here and did it like full voice, I got there. I mean, it's still for me singing earnestly and for real is kind of a new thing to be doing that in front of other people.
Sure.
But I'm a much more comfortable with it now than I was before.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you done it much? I did that little thing with Ted Leo with you that was very, but you weren't singled out.
Yeah, maybe. As a consequence of doing a lot of variety shows here in Los Angeles for years, I would start out. There would always be a lot of music in the shows, and I would start out kind of being funny with the songs, you know, and doing like a song that everyone knew, but goofing around with it. And then I think I tried it one time, and it didn't work, and I was going to drop it from these shows that I was doing. And Grant Lee Phillips, a musician friend of mine, said, sometimes the thing that you're the most afraid of is the thing that you should kind of run towards. Mm-hmm. And that has resonated with me for so many things over the years. But that was the beginning of me feeling like I could do this and it wouldn't be – because, you know, being a comedy person, it feels – it's just like a crazily indulgent thing to do to get up there and like, hey, everybody, look at me, you know. And then once I was able to kind of shed that a little bit, it's still – like it's – I still think about it. You know what I mean? Feels like – I did a covers concert last Christmas as a fundraiser. And it was all like – it was not funny at all. There was no comedy. It was just this is me singing with other people and
– That's actually where – so I'd heard you sing before that obviously. Mm-hmm. And what I think is interesting about you with your speaking voice, one would assume you have this like this resonant baritone only, which you do have. But you have this incredible high tenor that
it's
came
awesome.
Out when I – so I went to that concert you're referencing mm-hmm. and – you sang so many amazing things and did so many cool different like Bowie tunes and like you and Ted did that Irish, that old like Gaelic insane timing stomping number. I was like, how is anyone counting this? But the way I knew you'd be able to sing this melody is you sang Skyfall, the James Bond theme.
That's right.
Which is like, amazing. It's huge. It's so high.
Let the sky fall when it crumbles. we will stand tall and face it all together.
And sometimes when, like, my male friends are singing and I didn't know they could sing something, if I'm in the audience, I do this thing where I, like, cup my hand so I test the note to be like, because I'm curious. Yeah. I'm like, how did he get up there? So I'm sitting there in your audience going, Skyfall. And I'm going, damn, that's like an A. So I'm a fucking nerd, but I love discovering that people have hidden secret range, you know?
I'm going to look out for that from now on.
Oh, I do it all the time. I'm
going to do that now, I'm immediately imagining other people in the audience like, what is that lady doing?
Testing the note, bro. We wrote and recorded that original song that we've been talking about in 7 days.
7 days, that's it.
No more, no less. And then we had a few extra days to actually perfect the mix, because I think that would have been crazy to try and mix it in that time as well. But basically, I wanted to point out one little thing that I kind of noticed in the studio, but didn't notice until I was talking to Nate about it later. Nate was talking about the drum track that he laid down, and he came up with his own drum parts for everything with some notes from Alex and I. But he at one point asked me, oh, are the lyrics in the first verse still saying the word haunted? And I was like, yeah, why do you care about lyrics, drummer? And then I realized it's because he put this incredible Beyonce Easter egg into the song for us.
Which, if you don't know, that is kind of the drum pattern of the song Haunted.
I think it's
Beyonce.
The literal drum pattern. From her eponymous album from 2014.
Literally top three favorite Beyonce songs. Haunted is in there.
Mine too. So then that appears in the verse, so let's hear it in context. You're haunting me, everyone I see. It's just a secret.
Yeah.
It's just a
just that
wink.
One time, a little nod.
Just a little nod. Just a little Beyonce
we
nod.
We only work with the best.
Only
Nate's
the best.
The best.
Only marry the best. What else did we throw in there?
Well, so then you and I had some conversation as to whether or not it needed a little counter melody.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had always heard, like, so we have, but I'm here now, and I feel my body moving.
7, 8.
Like, and I
empty,
right.
Like, the last two bars of the phrase or whatever are kind of empty.
Right. And so there was some discussion that I thought that there should be, at least in the second chorus and final chorus, that there should be some sort of response to the call, like a call and response. So I came up with this like little arpeggio in the synth sound that sounds like this.
Just like a little walking, just a little movement after the vocal line.
Exactly. So when you throw that in with everything else, minus drums, this is it starts to tell a more complete picture. And so, yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And we don't do it on every chorus, right?
Mm-mm. No, we only do it on the second chorus.
Yes.
And then the third chorus, not on the final chorus. So then the choruses were feeling great. Paul's verse feeling great. The bridge sounds great. The song's really coming together. And one thing I noticed is I went back to the very first thing Tawny sent me when we were talking about writing this song. And it was this like spooky voice, this guy. That was like our very first kind of idea for the song. So I wanted, even though we moved away from that kind of bump, 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 bump feel
evolved.
To the whole song, I thought it would be super fun to kind of pay homage to that very first melody idea we had. And so we put it over the final chorus and the outro on a little synth that's kind of like fluty. Right? So then kind of in the outro, you get this guy. Kind of hear it there in the background.
Yeah,
like, and I just thought that was just like, that was a fun idea to just,
yeah,
just pay a little homage to your very first idea, which was so great.
You know, it's like a carton of soy milk and they put a little soybean on the front of it to be like, remember where you come from. Since Paul gave us the inspiration for it, even though we're kind of far from the lyrical content now, we asked Paul to come up with a title for this song. Paul, what is that title?
I mean, the thing that jumps out to me the most is, but I'm here now, because it's it's, I feel like it's the most plaintive thing, and it's really the thing that is being kind of cried out from this song, because there's, you know, if it's about, you know, either you made a mistake or I made a mistake, or, you know, now you want to come back, or you, you know, you're thinking about this differently. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been here the whole time. I'm here now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my pick.
I'm here now to choke you. Is that what you're going to say?
That's right. No one is more present than when they are choking someone.
I like that a lot. I'm here now.
I'm here now.
So thank you so much for being willing to do an Earnest song. I think you sound great on it.
Thank you. Well, thank you for trusting me, and thank you for being so supportive.
Yeah, you're fantastic. We should do more. Caitlin, you're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
And I would love to write you more songs. You don't need me. But
hey, go ahead. Send them my way.
I love writing a song and singing it myself and being like, this song's kind of okay. And then like hearing it in your voice and being like, this is a hit. Yeah.
And I'm available for birthday parties. Yeah. So.
Alex the Clown. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. This has been our very first episode of The Supergroup. I think it was a success.
I
think it was a super success.
Agree.
And if anyone doesn't agree, I don't care for your opinion. So thank you all for listening. Now you get to listen to our completely original tune, But I'm Here Now, by this week's The Supergroup. Woo!
I see you everywhere I go. Ever since you went, I've been so depressed, feeling dark and low. People tell me to move on and meet somebody new, but you're haunting me. Everyone I see reminding me of you. Get over it. And it's normally not like me to do this, but I'm here now, and I feel my body moving. And I reach out and I touch you just to prove it. I find solace in strangers, pretend it's you. If I look away, then his face will change, transport me to you. It's not good for me doing this, living in my head, and it's getting hard keeping him at arm's length, holding you instead. And I know I should just get over it. And it's normal.